Hello everyone, welcome to the Tech Point Africa podcast. Today we'll discuss SEC's new guidelines for crypto exchanges in Nigeria, how the Commercial Bank of Ethiopia might have lost $40 million to a system glitch, and how much Nigeria might have lost to the recent internet disruption. I'm Oluwani Femi Kolawole, and with me in the studio is
Bolu
Chimgajuri.
Yes, those are the familiar voices you are used to on this podcast, at least for the best part of this year. Joining us in the studio today is a voice you've always known and probably missed. I'm not the one to decide that. But joining us in the studio again today is Emmanuel Paul.
Hello. How are you going? How's it going?
It's great to have you back with us in the studio today, and he's joining us as a guest today. He's feeling proud, but yeah, we're going to bring that down. With that, let's just get straight into the stories we have today. As you already know, Bolu is the person that talks about crypto on this podcast because we're not going to drag it with him. But at some point, we drop our 2 cents with the ongoing. What do you mean by we can try? Are you trying to say we don't have anything to say about it?
You can try to drag it with me, but no, that ends.
So the Nigerian Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, has issued rules and regulations or new guidelines that would affect crypto exchanges in Nigeria, and this includes different things like registration fees. So Bolu will give us a rundown on that and what they should expect.
Okay, yeah, so what the SEC is doing is actually proposing changes to guidelines for setting up crypto exchanges and other forms of companies that provide digital asset services, right? So they issued those guidelines in 2022, I think May 2022, and it had guidelines for running a crypto exchange, running a company that provided wallet services and all forms of digital asset services. I think the name they gave them is, the collective name for all of them is virtual asset service providers, right? So they introduced it in 2022 and now they are trying to make some changes. And those, I think there are a lot of changes, right? But I think the most important ones, right, the major ones were the registration fee and the paid up capital. The registration fee and paid up capital. So in 2022, the paid up capital was 500 million, right?
Naira.
500 million naira, yes. And the registration fee was 30 million naira. So now they are proposing a change. They want the registration fee to now be 50 million naira and the paid up capital to be 1 billion naira.
So how much? 50 million? 50 or 150?
150 million.
150 million.
Yes.
How much is this in dollars? Please, I can't relate to it.
Okay.
Get out of my face.
All right. So I think 1 billion naira since the Nigerian exchange rate.
It's under $1 million.
Well, the naira gained a bit yesterday. So
still under $1 million when you think about it. Yeah, it's still under $1 million.
Except okay.
Is this still under $1 million?
Yeah.
It just gained by 100 naira now. It's not like it made...
So it's around $706,000, yeah. Right?
Okay,
so I think when you change it to dollar, it now sounds a bit smaller, right? But even at that...
It's still a lot of money, yeah.
Even at that... okay, let's not go to that. I think you still ask a question on that. But the SEC is proposing it because, there has been a lot of recent changes. Even the CBN made some changes like that to IMTO licenses and other things like that. So that is what the SEC is doing, and they are doing it at a time where there's Nigeria and crypto companies are having, they are at loggerheads.
Okay, so I understand the fact that regulations have to come in to guide how players in a space operate,
yeah,
and make sure that the users are safe. So I'm trying to understand the motive of the SEC for increasing this money at a time like this.
All right, so they actually shared their motives, right? I think at the end of the document, there was something like justification for what they are proposing. So they said the changes were based on the engagements they've had with stakeholders and the CBN. So they are learning from the CBN. But then when they say engagement with stakeholders, that I don't really understand what they mean, because stakeholders in the crypto space, when they released the first guidelines in 2022, when the paid-up capital was 500 million, stakeholders were like, that is too much. And the reason they said it was too much is because it will not give, we don't have crypto exchanges or crypto companies in Nigeria, Nigerian crypto companies that are that established. One. So they said it will just make the foreign ones have an unfair advantage. They already do. I mean, Binance already has an unfair advantage over any sort of Nigerian crypto exchange you can think of, right? But then when you now make the entry for those local players to be even more difficult, right, you take away whatever leg they were standing on at all in the first place, right? So yes, regulations are required to hold people's money, to provide financial services. I think those, everything is financial services. To provide services like that, you need to be, at least, we need to know that you not run away with people's money, which I think is why some of these things are needed. But based on that space, right, it's a nascent space, it's a new space, we don't have players that are that established. Maybe these guidelines need to be reviewed.
Yes, we might, I think like we might, when we're talking about the volume of money moved through crypto exchanges, it might be big, but I don't think it translates to
value,
to revenue of those crypto exchanges.
So it's a, I think that subject has debated a bit recently. When you talk about what the size is, right, of the Nigerian crypto market, like how are people, how much do people really use crypto in Nigeria? Analysis from the reports they've been releasing has made us believe that Nigeria is a massive crypto market. That, in a way, is correct, right? A lot of people are using crypto, but what are they, what is the size of transactions they are doing? So if you ask, I think someone at FTX recently said, you know, they got access to the transactions people do in Nigeria. And while there might be a lot of users, the amount they were transacting was quite small compared to countries like South Africa and compared to an even smaller country like Seychelles. Right? Seychelles is just a small island. And the value of the crypto transactions we are doing in big Nigeria is not up to Seychelles. So I think if you now look at things from that perspective, you now understand that yes, there are a lot of users, yes, adoption, right, which I think is where the mistake is, adoption, volume, value, I think those things, we don't fully understand it yet in Nigeria, right? So you might think, oh, a lot of, there are people using a lot of using crypto, so local crypto players, they are making money and things like that. So it might not be true, actually.
So I think in a way it might be influencing the SEC's decision, because when you call those big numbers, you are not really looking at the capacity of the exchanges.
Emmanuel wants to say something.
No, so I'm actually curious if the value is that low, because it's like Binance is kind of debunking that myth that Nigeria is this big crypto market.
So yeah, they said it's less than 1%.
Less than 1% of their value. So what is... I'm struggling to see what the Securities and Exchange Commission is trying to achieve by increasing the...
I think I can see it.
Please, what is that?
So, on one hand, they are saying that... So they said they had consultations with stakeholders. But they mentioned the CBN.
Yes.
The CBN is... The CBN is not even...
Yes.
On one hand, they are saying banks can transact with crypto. Mm. But on the other hand, you're saying 20 billion moved through Binance that was unaccounted for, which presents like this hostile attitude towards cryptocurrency. So if the SEC is telling me that we consulted with the CBN and decided to raise capital requirements, the only reason, there are only two major reasons you raise capital requirements. One is that you're a rent-seeking body and you just want to grab as much money as you think you can get.
Yeah, trying to discourage entry.
Which, second is that you want to discourage entry into a particular space. The easiest way to do it is to create a barrier to entry. Yeah. There's a reason why you cannot wake up today and go and start a bank, because you do not have the paid up capital to do it. If you're going to get it, you probably have to sell your entire village, depending on what part of the country you come from, in order to raise the money. Right. So
yeah,
I think what the SEC wants to do, sorry, your part of the country doesn't really count. You're from here, Ikiti Abi?
Please move on.
Sorry.
Move on.
But yes, I think what the SEC is trying to do with this is discourage entry. That's the way I interpret it, because you really don't have any justification to raise, to significantly raise those rates. So, because I like to think that the government has really good hands working with them, or that they can access virtually any information they need to get. So yes, the analysis tells us huge volumes of huge numbers of Nigerians use crypto. But we also know that Nigeria is not exactly the most prosperous country in Africa. We've lost our place as the largest economy to Egypt. And even with fiat, you can't tell me that people are doing more with cryptocurrency than they are doing with fiat. How much are we transacting with fiat? Then now let's compare it with cryptocurrency, right? So even if me, the layman on the street, doesn't know all of that, the government at that high level should be able to look and say, okay, it's bobo, they are boboing you people, but we shall know what's up. So they just want to reduce barrier to entry. And so, it makes sense for them anyway.
Yeah, so reducing, when it comes to reducing barrier to entry, I don't know if Emmanuel, from your experience, looking at how regulations have influenced subsectors, when stuff like this come up to reduce, to increase barrier to entry or discourage people from entering those spaces, what do the players in those spaces usually resort to?
Like the existing players in
Yes.
Well, it's what usually comes, what I've noticed in other industry, let's take the telco space, for instance. You find that you just have a few guys who kind of dominate the space. And it's very difficult for any new player to come in. So even though we say, oh, Nigeria has four major telcos, in essence,
it's three.
Two and a half. I know. I will leave you to guess who that half is.
Of course. You know who the half is.
So, but apart from that, right, I think, yes, typically for really, really critical sector, if crypto, so what I'm even struggling with is how critical is crypto to whatever it is your plan is, right? Telecoms is very critical to the country. Banking, very critical to the country. So you just can't let any cowboy comments. He opens one day, has a dream of opening a crypto company and changing the world.
And that's just fund money.
Exactly. So you just can't let it, even if you have the money, based on the checks that this SEC will do, they should even discourage you from getting into the place. But what I think will happen is the few players that are strong enough, you could have mergers, people join together to buy the license and become one company. You could have mergers, you could have acquisitions. Then you now have like a few strong players that are beholden to the regulators and a little bit more structured. So, and we hope that they have fewer issues than Binance does, because Binance seems to be having issues globally. I don't know what's going on, Bulu. But that's by the way,
it's just because they are very large. They are the biggest, so they'll definitely get the most attention.
They're not the only large company. So what's your point?
They're the largest.
No, I mean
in that space.
In crypto, yes. Yeah, in so, but why is it that they're always having buzz boosts?
I think their buzz boosts is more usually louder, because even Coinbase, that is American, they've also faced their own fair share of
voila.
It's people that have their own in crypto that are more than, but anyways, let's move from there to another story that has to do with the banking sector in Ethiopia. the Commercial Bank of Ethiopia probably lost about $40 million, which they are saying is not up to, due to a, in quotes, air quotes, if you can't see me, air quotes, system glitch. Just give us in a few seconds, you were doing, what exactly happened?
Okay, so sometime last week, the Commercial Bank of Ethiopia saw mass withdrawals. So basically, customers saw that they could withdraw more money than they had. So imagine you go to the ATM, and then for some reason you discover that you can withdraw more money than you have. I mean, we've seen something like that in telco. Where
in a meme.
You know what?
I've seen something like that in a meme, not in real life.
Okay. We've seen something like that with MTN, where some people discovered they could access more data than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as usual, stories like this spread. So apparently, there are a lot of WhatsApp groups. So people put it in WhatsApp groups. And students in Ethiopia rushed to ATMs to withdraw the money. So right now, the media is reporting that $42 million mm-hmm. was withdrawn from the bank. But the bank is saying, or the bank CEO is saying, that's not entirely accurate, that what was taken out was way less, and they are currently conducting an audit to find out exactly how much was lost in the process.
Okay. The government and the bank, they are denying that it might be a cyber attack, that is a system glitch that came up from a technical update that they were doing.
Yeah.
But I discovered that while it might be that they are denying, they might actually not know whether it's a cyber attack or not, because sometimes cyber attackers actually disguise as glitch. So instead of the company going after or putting measures in place to stop the attack, they are probably trying to fix the technical glitch so it gives them enough time to perform whatever it is they want to do. So I'm leaning towards a cyber attack.
I mean, give them some credit now. It could actually be a technical glitch.
I'm leaning towards technical glitch because...
Yeah, same here.
They actually had to shut down the entire...
How much number?
3-1.
Eh?
They had to shut down the entire banking system to resolve the issue. And we've also seen things like that, even in, should I say, places or companies that would have advanced technical
technical glitch is like common. Yes. It's not
happened in users with Wells Fargo, right? Where some people saw depleted account balances.
So you're going too far. We saw something similar now. Like we see things like this every few days on Nigerian Twitter. So a bank has pushed updates, and then you're now seeing some
like that happened with Kuda a few weeks ago, that a user came to tweet about and say they were able to, I think they got an amount in their account.
Oh, okay. I think I saw something like that.
Yeah, then they reported to the customer care.
Like, yeah. Okay. Unlike the guys in Ethiopia who decided, well, let's
milk this. This is a national cake. So well, the company, the bank has been trying to retrieve some of the funds. In fact, they are saying that you can tell us that you withdrew more than what was in your account. We will not prosecute you. So I think the media is saying that some people have come back to tell them that, oh, we withdrew more than what we have access to. I don't know whether they are giving it back.
I mean, of course, why are you telling me you withdrew more without giving
just
it back?
Just to let you know that so I've been...
What if I tell you I've spent it?
I've spent it.
Well, you can find it too.
It's in the banking system.
So technically, we can call it armed robbery. You stole money, really. It's not your money.
It's a civil offense.
Okay, so I'm looking at it. Let's look at it through the lens of... Let's take it out of the digital world. Right? I'm in my house. Right? Money entered through the window.
No. This is not similar.
And I saw it. This is a deliberate step of going after coffers. You say okay, coffers.
Think of it this way, right? Okay. You put 500 naira in your wallet. You woke up the next morning. You now saw 5,000 naira there.
Okay.
And you did not question. You did not ask.
That's even nice.
You did not even
Let's
ask.
Use, so you know how we have a job? So you've been saving money for 6 months. And it's 10K we are saving. It's 60K. You now go one day to visit your thrift collector, and then you go there and you see bags of money. You now enter with.
Okay.
You now enter. Maybe he left his house open or she left her house open. You enter. You know your money is 60K, but you took 300K and you walked out. You now went to a WhatsApp group and said,
There's money in our house. Go and carry your own.
Go and collect. Then everybody now followed you and they went there. They had
outside,
money.
Outside, like,
no.
I have a safe. Like, Manu's wallet own works. I put 500 there. I saw 5,000. It's my wallet.
No.
Who came and carry money?
Wait, you are not the one who keeps custody of your money. True or false?
True.
So you had to take an action. You stood up from your bed, wherever you were sitting, walked to an ATM and took money that did not belong to you. If you had just withdrawn what you had, maybe you were scared that, if people can withdraw money like this, then we can, maybe you are in trouble. If that was why you decided to take out all your money, it's fine. But now you took out more than your own money. You should be in Kri-Kri or whatever kind of Kri-Kri they have.
I think there was a time I got one bonus like that. I was afraid that I'd be spent this thing like this.
Yes, as you should be, as good citizens, actually, when situations like this happen, you're not in the situation to report it, don't participate.
Why has this happened in Nigeria, sir?
Where?
Abi?
Since I don't do banking system, nothing like this. Insufficient funds.
Wow. Insufficient for you can't access your phone. Those are the ones that
they
system
off
glitch.
Everything.
That system glitch used to cause.
Heads will roll if it happens.
I hope they can recoup their money back and situations like this are prevented. Since I don't know if they've experienced this before, but I'm sure that when they are able to do like an analysis of what happened, they should be able to prevent it in the future. So let's come back to Nigeria and probably the rest of Africa. In the last 2 weeks, we experienced internet disruption, which started like a joke on the Thursday. Meanwhile, some people have been experiencing it earlier. That was the Thursday of March 14th. That was when it actually became quite mainstream, if I could use that word. And many African countries were experiencing internet disruption. You can't access some websites, some applications, some mobile and website applications. And it happened that it's really disrupted a lot of things. And a report came and revealed how much Nigeria has lost in that space of time. So I think we should discuss what is not responsible for this disruption, because we've heard a lot of things. Many people have blamed Tinubu, blamed Desmond Elliott, have blamed Bosun, that's the Minister of Information and Digital Economy.
Yeah.
Many people have caused their banks, caused MTN, caused anybody that they know, even when I was not aware of the cause of the disruption, I knew it was a general thing. And well, what is not responsible for the disruption? Emmanuel, can you enlighten some people that are still in that?
What is not responsible? Those people you mentioned, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think they are responsible for the disruption, right?
Okay.
I don't think it was an internal issue.
Okay.
It was not a technical glitch that we're just discussing just now, right? So, but for you to really get what I'm trying to say, I think I should point this out. MTN, Airtel, Glo, Nine Mobile, they lose money anytime your network is not going.
So they're not after your life. Like, they're not deliberately not giving you internet.
So MTN, Airtel, Glo, and the rest of them, they have every incentive for your data to be moving as fast as possible.
Mm.
because so that is when
you can renew it fast.
You can renew it again.
Mm-hmm.
When your data finish, when your 20 gig that you just loaded yesterday finishes fast, it pays them more than when internet you are trying to load Netflix and it's struggling. No, the Netflix should be playing smoothly, be playing HD plus, and you'll be happy. Then you're not going to complain that your data finishes fast. Those are the kind of good complaints, right? But for this, where you say, oh, my network is not going, what is wrong with MTN? People should start selling corn or whatever. They are losing money during that period. So that is why it is difficult to blame MTN and the rest. It is also difficult to blame the government too, this kind of disruption, because the success of these telcos is also tied to their own success, right?
What are responsible for the disruption?
So the subsea cables, right? From what we've learned, so to on the subsea cables, like the internet we know today, that you, all those things you hear, cloud and everything, everything's under the water, in the ocean.
Cloud so, under the water.
When you hear cloud, oh, we are uploading. No.
It is flowing in the water.
So they are lying to us.
No. It's just computer lingo, right?
Yes. But
the idea is the subsea cables help connect the entire world. So think of the internet as a network of computers. So if you connect Chingo Zerim's laptop to your laptop now, and you can now share information between these two laptops. That is like an oversimplified sample of what we call the internet.
Okay.
Or in this case, you can call it intranet. So because it's just the two of you, right? So subsea cables, they are on the ocean. They lay them on the ocean bed. Then when it gets to the shore, they bury them under the sand. So if there's any major construction going on close to the shore, it could affect the subsea cables because it's shallow. On the deep part of the ocean, many other things could, it could be, in geography, they call them seismic shifts or earth tremors. So if there's anything going on the ground, it could affect the cables.
Okay.
If a ship sinks and it's scraping along the ocean floor, it could affect the cables.
Yeah.
So those are
what, uncle?
Yeah?
Ignore that. Please remove that from this conversation. Please go.
So, yeah. So those are most likely going to. So I, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think anything happened close to the shores in the West African coast. But I think there were some major earth tremors or shifts or whatever, or maybe floating debris or sinking debris rather affected the cables. But on the other side of the continent, the eastern parts, the Middle Eastern side, I think I've seen ties to the conflict in the Middle East with the Red Sea and all of that. So I hear they've been cutting cables around that side too. So, yeah, so it's an international incident. And I guess you have more questions for me.
Yes. So I don't know whether there are conspiracy theories, but there are some parts of media reporting that it might be a terrorist attack.
To be honest, it's unlikely. But I can't really speak to that, especially for the western coast. You could make an argument for the Middle Eastern side, but I'm not sure about the one that happened with West Africa. So I know they're on opposite ends of the continent. So
the chances that they happened around the same time.
Yeah. It happened around the same time. But you know, all these cables are also connected to each other. So for instance, may one cable connects to Asia. You can add whatever 2 and 2 you want to add, but I can't. It's not in my mind. You will hear that it's terrorist attack.
How difficult is it to actually, I don't know if I should say, lay those cables or to fix them if something happens? Like,
it's quite difficult. So you have to actually trace where the cut happened. You can look at it on your system, but you have to go into the ocean and trace where the cut happened and go and fix them with special equipment, because you can't go that deep yourself. So you're using special equipment to fix it. It's on the ocean floor, so don't forget about it. So even the laying of the cable itself, it's not that anybody's scuba diving. They use special ships.
There's a picture usually used for those stories. Scuba divers.
I saw that picture on Thursday and I was
blame those.
Wait, what? Who now lays the cable?
They use special ships to lay the cable. They don't actually go down there physically. Wow. You can scuba dive close to the shores, not in the deep parts.
Yeah.
I think they know they find you.
The pressure is so at some point, some networks started going even in the midst of the disruption.
Yeah.
People that were using fiber had respite for whatever reasons, which I will ask you now. At some point, too, some of the mobile networks started coming back up. There were some platforms or platforms that were easily accessible, like the Facebook, WhatsApp,
Netflix,
yeah. Google. Yeah. So, is there an explanation for all that?
Yeah. So, I think it's tied to the conversation I've been seeing. Does Africa really have its own
internet?
So, I guess the question is, does anyone really have their own internet?
Because
internet is connection of multiple computers. So, if there's a fault on one end, it's going to affect the other end. So, but the unique case with Nigeria is we don't have as much redundancy. Contingency plan. So once one route is affected, how many alternative routes do we have to route the network? So it is not all the cables that were affected. First of all, I don't think Glo One cable was affected. So that's why I think Glo did not really have as much issues as the rest of them.
And we're doing this at MTN.
So
the banter.
So yeah, and I saw an ad where they were shading everybody else.
Yeah,
shade Glo.
Yeah, so there are redundancy contingency plans, right? So, and it's something the telcos have done really, really well. They don't just use their own cable. They have their own cables, but they also
plug
into other people's cables, because if anything happens to theirs, they can move to someone else. So fiber guys did not were not hit as much, because it was the telcos and the cable system that they used that were mainly affected. So then for Nigeria, you have to think of two things: the number of subsea cables we have, data centers we have, and content delivery networks. So content delivery networks is where, like, where do I start from? A lot of the content we consume on the internet, we are not the ones producing them.
Sure.
The Googles, the Facebook, the Netflix, they're not from Nigeria, right? They're not from Africa. They're from elsewhere. And the communication happens through those cables. But with content delivery networks, you can catch them. It's like you can store them locally in that location. So that is where data centers come in.
Okay. Because so I wanted to ask that, is that different from data center?
Yes. So it's those content delivery networks you now store in the data center. Data center is like a giant building with lots of computers. So
not like the ones we store those
data centers locally.
Store this content locally. So you don't need to. So if you want to access Google now, you don't need to pass through the cable to go to the US and back again. You just go to the data center and it comes back to you. And the data center is close to you here. So that's what content delivery network means. So
I think MeOne has data centers, Wyok has data centers.
A lot of data centers. So that is what helps some of all these services that have local content close to you. They've already pushed the updates to those data centers.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask.
Yes, they've pushed the updates. So in computer terms, they call it caching. So once something has caged on your browser, I don't know if you've noticed something where the site has updated, it's no longer showing something else, but your browser is still showing something else, because that's what is stored on your browser. So local content has caged in these data centers. So that's why there's a push to have more and more data centers, because Nigeria does not have enough data centers. Africa does not have enough data centers. I don't think we have more than 100 data centers.
The whole of Africa.
Consume content a lot. So, but compare that to the US that has over 5,000 data centers, just the US alone. Compare that to Singapore alone, a country that's just around the size of Nigeria. They have 99 data centers. But Nigeria, Africa has 100 or thereabouts, right? Subsea cables. We don't have enough subsea cables. No, when I was writing these things, I was always arguing that, oh, we have enough. We should just plug into the terrestrial fiber. Yes. But and I realized that we just have 20 subsea cables. In North America, you're talking over 100 connecting different parts. You are in Asia, you're talking over 100 connecting many parts of the world, right? In Europe, you have at least 50, if I'm not mistaken. So in Africa does not even have enough subsea cables. So once a bunch of them are affected, you don't have enough to route to.
Yeah.
And when you not even route, there's not so much pressure on that one you routed to that your network is now slow. You saw the internet did not stop.
It was
just super slow.
They
routed to somewhere else and there was a lot of congestion. So that's what I think is happening there. So what I would say is, okay, we need more local content delivery network, we need more local data centers, we need more subsea cables, we need more terrestrial fiber, so that at least you can reroute when something is happening or when something is not happening.
While this might open the eyes of fiber internet providers, internet service providers, rather, mobile internet providers, I think whatever changes they want to implement, it might not happen in a long time. Like when the first subsea cable was landed in Nigeria was 2001 or 2000. When the next one was going to come, like the one that actually made news, yeah, it's like more than one decade or two decades later. So I think the speed with which these things happen is far spaced, and if we say we want to prevent this kind of thing from happening again, maybe we are counting another one decade, two decades to be able to prevent. I don't know.
Can I disagree?
Okay.
I would say in the recent years we've been having more and more cables in short span. So Facebook came with South Africa.
Okay.
It's not the Google came with Equiano.
Mm-hmm.
Equiano wasn't affected by this, by the way.
Mm.
It was working smoothly, right? So if we now have more of that in short space.
Yeah,
time,
so I think it could happen in short spaces, but the speed of
execution
is really slow. Yeah, right. But I think this should kind of open the nation's eyes to the possibility of we being shut out from the rest of the world if we don't have this infrastructure in place.
You can build your own Instagram and Netflix.
we ourselves will not use it. So let's just make peace. Nah. So you will use Kraal if Twitter was not available.
That's a Kraal. I said we don't have our own.
Yeah. Was that one not built locally?
Please buy
Crow.
Crow. So I'm just trying to say that there's no we can't have beef with global companies being active in our local economy, because we use them and they are mainstream. And if you want to stay, you want to stay connected to every part of the world, these global ones will come true for you. The reason why we don't give alternatives a chance is that we can't give them the benefit of doubt or use them for a long time to see whether they will fill in for what we are giving up. So we don't even give them the grace. So we have to come to peace. We can't give them the grace. If a new social media platform comes up, will you jump on it? Will you talk about your connectivity with other people?
I'm already fatigued. If that's the example you want to use, I'm already fatigued with. But the thing is, we don't give them grace, but the switching cost is also a lot. Why do I have to go from Instagram to Graminsta or X to Threads? And I can always stay where I am, because really I'm not performing any serious function here. It's not financial transaction or anything.
Even but people that are performing financial transactions.
No, like I'm talking. So your bank, you can say, this bank always they always have like network downtime.
Okay,
so I can go
a new one
go
comes
someone.
Up. I can jump.
Yeah,
on
but
this.
If it's a social network, you can say, yes, they've been saying I should get off social media. This is a perfect opportunity, and you will leave. Mm-hmm. But if it's for more critical digital infrastructure, I think we'll move.
Yeah. Well, yes.
We've already seen people do that ever since the dollar cost became higher.
Yes, moving from global hosting platforms to...
Yeah, to
by the way, we have an article on that on TechPoint. You can find the link in the description. And that's it for us in the studio today. There are more stories, of course. Things always happen in the African tech space, and we cover them on TechPoint Africa website. So if you've not visited the TechPoint Africa website today, you should go to techpoint.africa. Go to your Google and type techpoint.africa and visit and check out the news and the happenings that are going on in the African tech space. We also have active newsletters run by journalists in TechPoint Africa. Talk about TechPoint Digest, which is a daily roundup of news in the Tech African space. We have the Modern Workplace newsletter. Just the way it sounds, talk about workplace related conversations. We also have Equity Machines that talk about startups, investment, and all the things surrounding it. So do well to subscribe to these newsletters as they relate to you. What else am I missing? What else am I missing?
Yeah.
What else am I missing?
My bank account details.
Your bank account details. Okay, so if you're happy to hear Emmanuel's voice today, you can reach out to him.
Reach out to me,
on Twitter at Eriski.
In the description.
Bank account in the description. Yeah, don't go fund me. Thank you very much. But to our OG listeners that want to recommend Tech Point Africa podcast to other audio listeners, where can they find it, Bolu?
Yes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio,
on YouTube. Podcast.
Yes, Google Podcast has now moved
Google
to YouTube.
Get out.
Google Podcast has now moved to YouTube Music, so you can now find us on YouTube Music.
Yes, and everywhere else you find your podcast, just exactly. Type Tech Points Africa Podcast, only one you will find. Please subscribe also. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you, Emmanuel, for coming to the studio with us. It's always lovely to have you around.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Hopefully, we'll get you back here in the studio with us soon. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and bye.
Bye.
Bye.